You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of December 14th, 2016. And this week, George and I answered the call and got our asses to Mars.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Abor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless conversation about video games. It is the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, man.
I'm not sick.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. I'm reinvigorated. I'm rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Because once again, we took our yearly field trip to see what the fuck was going on.
To the front line.
With one of the most recognizable franchises in video game history, Call of Duty.
Oh, man.
We just finished playing, quite literally, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Yeah.
This is the Treyarch?
No, Infinity Ward.
Okay,
Infinite. Although Treyarch was in the credits.
Well, they were in the credits. Infinity Ward, their latest foray into the Call of Duty franchise. This is a brand new story in the series.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Black Ops 3. This is not Modern Warfare 3. Whole new set of characters, whole new story. And we wanted to talk about it. So we'll talk a little bit about the game per usual in our debriefs and then go into spoilers as we talk a bit about the story. But let's be perfectly honest, it's Call of Duty. No one really gives a shit. I don't know if you played any multiplayer. I didn't touch it.
We tried to, but then they pushed like a 1.8 gigabyte patch when we were going to play it.
I did look up some online reviews. It seems like most people are saying this is just Call of Duty Black Ops 3, but the multiplayer experience,
which was
pasted
fine.
In, which is fine. Again, and let's be honest, I'm not especially good at Call of Duty multiplayer anyway, so what would my opinion really matter for that? We also didn't play any of the zombie story mode, which is, I think, probably some of the more compelling content.
That same thing has happened to us for, four Call of Duties, where we just, there's a zombie mode, and then you, hammer a 2x4 onto a door, some money pops out of you, and then I get confused and stop playing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly right. We do actually... I genuinely enjoy talking about Call of Duty every year.
Yeah.
Because I find it a really interesting measurement of the state of shooters.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like... it's, or you know what it's kind of more like? It's more like getting out our radar detection and seeing how radioactive a Chernobyl lake is, you know? Like, is it still decaying at the same rate? Has the radiation spilled over into a small wildlife? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a metric of the state of that particular space in games.
Particular space.
Space. So, do you want to start us off with your thoughts on Call of Duty Infinite Warfare?
I work with someone... who...
big Call of Duty fan?
Not really. He used to play video games, but he doesn't anymore. And he asked me, is Call of Duty good this year? And I was like, it's loud.
Yeah.
And I basically feel like that's pretty much my... it's hard to, call this...
I believe we called the last Call of Duty the worst Call of Duty.
I think this is worse than that.
I think this is worse than last year's Call of Duty.
Because, when I was talking to him about it, I didn't want to sound like such a downer or like a snob, but it's this is not a great game, and it's not just... it's not... not only is it not a good game, not a good single-player campaign, it's not even... it doesn't feel like it respects your time all that much.
Yeah.
And it's it looks crazy. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on the screen, but none of it seems to matter that much. And it doesn't really seem to be very cohesive. And I just don't... they're just drifting. They're just drifting at this point.
So, I mean, with that being said, right? As a measurement of the shooter space, I think this is actually pretty indicative of where Call of Duty is trying to place itself in the larger shooter conversation.
I guess.
Because... I almost feel bad for them because I feel like they didn't know what they were doing here.
Yeah.
It seems all over the board, right?
Yeah.
So this game takes place heavily in outer space, right? So they brought it into the future.
Yep.
And I think their thought was, look, a lot of other shooters are going that way, right? Mass Effect is on the horizon next year. Yeah. Titanfall 2 is coming out this year. Battlefield up till now has been pretty futuristic.
I mean, Call of Duty up till Call now Duty, has been right? like on the precipice.
It's the like the natural progression, right? Yeah. We're going to go into the future and it's going to be even more. And, you know, Call of Duty has taken pride on taking learnings from actual science and actual like military technology and applying that to the game, right? Yeah. So drones are in this game as a usable source, which are sort of a big topic thing that you see today. But for all that effort, it still seems like they don't entirely know why they're making what they're making, right? Yeah. Like in past years, even for games we didn't like for in the Call of Duty franchise, there have been certain scenes where we go, oh, that was actually really cool. Yeah. Like that dog scene was really neat. Or this one particular level was really awesome.
Remember in last year's where it was, the story was kind of about, well, what happens when you have machinery in your body or something.
Right.
And, and then that time when you jumped into like the icy kind of like World War II level, it's like, okay, like they're going for something here.
There's like a, where the, there was the double layer and suddenly you're in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are times where you could see they're sort of testing their limits, and then they go away and you're back to regular humdum Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I don't think this game has any standout moment. Like, I cannot think of a single scene where I was like, oh, that's an especially cool use. Yeah. I think a good deal of this game is wasted in really uninteresting space, like fighter pilot combat.
Yeah.
I mean, was any of that satisfying to you?
I mean, they have been slowly making that stuff more interactive. Like, this is the most interactive that fighter pilot been.
It's the least on rails.
Yeah, and it's still not very interactive.
Right.
Like, you lock on, and then the lock-on starts driving for you as you shoot with the reticle. So, I mean, it's just kind of dull. Like, there doesn't feel like there's many stakes. Like, you don't feel like you have weight to the ship because it's just kind of like, you know, jerking around on its rigging or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't think of like a, I can't think of a No Russians or Gillied Up or, like, I just can't think of a scene. What is the, you're right. Like, what is the standout scene?
And then on top of that, right? Like, what is the standout piece of technology or weapon?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a crazy arc gun
that
seems so absurd, but then
you also get it like multiple times through the game and it's like, okay, well, this was funny the first time, but I mean, I've had this thing five times already.
Yeah. Well, and it also just clouds the screen with a visual effect that it has a sort of maximum range and it's kind of difficult to aim because it's sort of all over the board.
Yeah.
And so as a result, like there are a few scenes towards the end when I was using it that it's just not useful. Like I can't see my enemies. I'm not killing them at the speed that I need to kill them.
Yep.
Call of Duty has always been a series where if you're out in taking fire too much, like it'll really hinder you.
Yep.
And that type of weapon, that's just this big, brooding, massive weapon, just doesn't suit itself for that type of gameplay.
I think maybe, well, what would you say to maybe the assertion that the standout is the hacking of the androids?
Yeah, we talked not a little androids, bit
of the whatever
because we played this on Twitch and the last hour
I
made a comment about how slow it takes to occupy another guy, and I think it's pretty dull. Here's what I would like to see, right? In my mind, it takes a while to initiate the hack, and then as soon as the hack passes, instead of the screen going entirely red as you transfer, instead it goes immediately to there, right? Yeah. Like the camera free ranges, dives into that player, and then ideally all of the robots would have different weapons and different skills, right? Maybe they would be like fucking Sub-Zero or like Scorpion and be able, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like different ways to interact with the world. Instead, you're just a robot that has basically the same weapons and guns that you'd find elsewhere in the world, and then you self-destruct.
Yeah.
So as a result, I feel like most of the time that ability was useful was just to act as a sort of guided grenade more than anything else. But the time it took to do all of that, I would rather just use a grenade.
Yeah. Agreed. That was the other thing where, like, and to be fair, we were, like, switching off the controller and, you know, we were swapping back and forth, but...
But that being said, I feel like you and I both tried out every single weapon
pretty much
in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the double pistols was by far the best part, but that's just because I was being an idiot. Running around shooting guys.
What else was there that maybe is... The spider grenades, I guess. But then, you know, Titanfall did that this year, and, like, that wasn't necessarily a new thing. What else may have been? I mean, I really think that they banked on the idea that fighting in zero G would be more fun than it turned out to be.
Yeah.
Or maybe just more fun than the stages were.
Well, but that only happens, what, twice?
It happens a handful of times. I bet it happens more in... Well, I mean, it happens more... I bet you it happens more in some of the side missions.
Yeah, that's true. There are a bunch of side missions that are optional that we chose to pass up.
Yeah. I mean, we got that... We did like one or two because that's where we got the Jackal, remember?
Yeah.
We got to steal that
thing. I wonder if you did those, you could somehow save your crew. Probably not.
Oh, that would be interesting. It's like, oh, like Mass Effect style. I got a, you know, reinforced body armor or whatever, and then like, you know, whatever.
I doubt
Gator survives.
Yeah, because there's no way, because there's an achievement for watching dead people's.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Stuff. Maybe we got the achievement for letting all of them die and then watching all of them.
I'm proud to have that achievement. Yeah, the spider stuff. Mm. Exactly right. Yeah.
There's the arc grenade type of thing.
I mean, there's the shield, but the shield even feels less impactful to me than past shields.
Yeah.
Because you have a sort of ammunition, so you hit two people with your shield, which is very satisfying.
Yeah.
And then the shield goes away, and all of a sudden you're stuck like in combat.
Oh, there was the Insta-Rock chest-high wall grenade. Oh,
God, what a useless ability. Absolute garbage. I think some of the coolest stuff was grappling hooking to enemies in space combat.
Yeah.
But it was pretty finicky at times.
Because you could also grapple hook to the environment, and so it was super easy to like accidentally grapple hook to the wall.
Right, exactly.
Instead of the dude.
And then you would hold down the D-pad to like reorient yourself, and you just sort of stand in place and float around. It just didn't have the mobility or the excitement that you would expect from something that is meant to be the sort of stand-up new gameplay mechanic. I think that's true of also the gravity grenades that are new to this game.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't feel especially impactful at all.
It looks cool, but then, like, there's so many enemies in different areas of the screen. Like, should you be focusing on the guys floating? Right. Like, 'cause by the time you've trained your sights on the floating guys, some other guy is shooting you in the ass.
Exactly. Yeah. And so in that context, why would you ever opt for gravity grenade when you can opt for the shock grenade, which does the exact same thing, right? It takes people out of commission for an extended period of time or just flat out kills them in a wider zone.
Yeah.
Like the bubble is something that looks cool, but then is ultimately ineffective and even used against you.
Yeah.
Because when it does happen against you, you just sort of float out and move away. You're not, you know, oh my God, what happened to me? Like the guys are on screen.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like a sort of one-to-one relationship.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't think of a single time where someone threw a grenade at me and I got a different grenade marker, right? Because it'll warn you, oh, there's a grenade nearby.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that probably was those types of grenades or a shot grenade or something, but it didn't notify you.
Yeah.
And I suspect that's partially because it doesn't really fucking matter what type of grenade they throw at you. You'll just get out of the way.
Yeah. How did you feel about going back to the hub every time after a mission? You go back to your home base, basically.
You know, I've been replaying Bloodborne. I mean, there's a lot of games that do this, right?
Like you do.
Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne, and like the hub is a normalized thing in games. And I think the reason is to have a sense of safety, a place to call home, a place to personalize. It doesn't really have much of that. It has like the weird videotapes that you watch of like news broadcasts.
That is kind
of
funny.
But if anything, it makes the world feel more fake than real, which is the opposite of what you want to do. It throws the pacing off. I think this game is atrociously paced. All the time, we would go on a mission that's like, oh my God, we gotta fucking hit this and go super fast, and oh my God, like everything's exploding, and then back to base where nothing is happening, and you can take these side missions, and then back to the craziness, and it didn't feel like the levels or the missions were spaced out in an appropriate way.
Mm-hmm.
I think partially having the optional missions is a detriment to that end, especially when you're talking about the feeling of missions that are mostly space combat versus stealth combat versus like corridor versus outside, like all of those matter and change the pace of things pretty significantly. It was definitely not an easily digestible flow.
And I think it's worth pointing out again that it is constant. Like other than the downtime when you're in your base, like reading audio or reading like crew novels. Logs or whatever. The game just goes. Like, there's no, like, dramatic... Like, there's no release. Like, there's never a time where it's, like, nothing... Like, this is a sneaking mission.
Yeah.
Like, it's just explosions. Like, 24-7.
24-7,
like, it's kind of...
And
yeah.
I think one of the biggest sins in my mind is that the story follows the exact same path. And we can get into that shortly. But, like, there is no... there's no conniving going on. Yeah. There's no like intrigue or mystery betrayal.
Yeah.
There's no real arc for basically any character. Yeah. I think they try unsuccessfully with the main character, Captain Reyes, and honestly, a little bit of Ethan, who is the robot like buddy cop in this game. But there's just nothing there to hold on to. And I think what's so upsetting is like, you know, for the most part, we've talked about past Call of Duty games on the show because there's always been some aspect of it that is actually super interesting.
Yeah.
Like there's someone at the studio who knows what's what and want to make a really interesting political statement or comment about war or comment about modern society. And all of those people have been fired in the past year or so because this doesn't feel...
Yeah.
It genuinely feels as though it's missing a large group of people who would have said, this isn't good enough.
Yeah, yeah. But
in terms of writing, in terms of design, in terms of level design, all of that.
It's weird, though, because it's never looked like it's never looked flashier. You know, it's like they keep investing into, like, how cool can this thing look? And it usually runs pretty well and everything. Like, but you're right. Like, there's, I don't know. I mean, not since, like, Black Ops 2 has there been, like, a game where it's like, oh, through and through, this was a pretty solid like single player experience.
Yeah.
Last thing before we get to the actual plot details, this game was packaged with a remastered version of Modern Warfare, the original.
Correct.
Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare.
That is the best reason to buy this
game. Yeah.
Is to get that remaster, because that's actually a really good game.
Yeah. I am somewhat, maybe, I mean, we...
Skeptical
we
about
never,
it, you think?
Well, I mean, like, we never have time to do this, but if we had all the time in the world, I would be interested in us playing that game again.
Yeah.
And seeing how that game holds up.
True.
It's a little worrisome to think about, but, like, I gotta believe that it holds up.
You know, even if it doesn't hold up, though, there are aspects of it that you can respect as influential to the industry.
That's true.
I just think, Call of Duty has sort of slipped in that regard over the ages. And again, like, look, nobody goes into making a game with the intent of making a bad one.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there are people at Infinity Ward that I'm sure put a huge amount of effort and think that this game is good or try their best or whatever. But I think it is indicative of just not really knowing what to deliver to the shooter audience anymore. Yeah. I think that's partially because of the sheer inundation of shooters, the shooter genre, and not to mention Call of Duty games in particular, you know?
Yep. Both thematically and mechanically. Like,
exactly, yeah.
You know...
Where do we go from here?
Exactly. Like, it's not as fast or fluid as Titanfall. It's not as... fun as something like Doom.
Yeah.
It's not as wacky or like competitive focused as Overwatch.
It's
like,
not as narratively rich as Battlefield 1.
Yeah. I mean, like, what? So, where are we at this point?
Yeah. I'm not envious of that. It just feels like this is the exact example of what you would get when, from the very beginning, you didn't have a firm idea of where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
Or conversely, like, they did, and it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Like, things happen. You know, maybe the anti-gravity space stuff was all meant to be bigger and better, and they just couldn't make it work in time according to their deadlines. Like, shit happens.
Or this was the vision, and it's not something that we glommed onto, or it's something that...
Or a lot of people, right? I mean, my understanding is that Call of Duty is sort of struggling, and I mean, they're not struggling in terms of sales compared to a lot of other titles, but for what their expectation was, for sure.
Yeah.
I know they're doing like a free-to-play weekend coming up, I think in January.
Wow.
5 full days of like playing Call of Duty. And, I think their goal there is to crowd the multiplayer servers and see if there's interest in that.
Try to jumpstart the interest in it by getting people
and
on.
And that works, and that's a good idea, right? And again, like Call of Duty multiplayer, which is what most people choose to play, is relatively easily patched. Mm. There was a 1.8 gig today. Who knows what was in that, right? So this could be actually a very good game in a month's time if all you're into it for is the multiplayer, which again, I can't necessarily speak to. Yeah. What I can say quite comfortably is this is probably the least interesting Call of Duty single player campaign we've ever experienced.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And again, that multiplayer, just by watching streamers and like other people play it, it's like, okay, like, if you're into this, this is more of that.
Yeah, totally.
It's, you know, it's not... The good players are going to be rewarded with more things to kill the bad players with. And like the cycle continues.
Probably dual wielding shotguns. Or I want them to bring the zombie world in and like let you become a zombie. Mm. Or like, what if you could be a pack of zombies?
Yeah, like if you die in multiplayer, you turn into a zombie, and your goal is then to hunt down the rest of the humans.
Hell yes, yeah, zombie mode would be sweet.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe next year. Okay, let's see if we can recreate what the hell was going on with this game.
I think this is the easiest one yet.
You think so?
Well, yeah, because it basically goes like this. Spoilers for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Yeah.
Jon Snow leads a pack of angry Martians.
Yep.
Who are angry for some unknown reason.
Yeah.
I mean, legitimately, I don't think the game ever says why they're mad.
I mean, we probably missed it.
We talked over it.
Or it was in some of the audio logs.
Okay.
I can only imagine the filthy earthers are trying to steal their gold
that's
true. Or whatever.
It's probably something like that. Yeah. Their sweet Martian gold.
Yeah.
The Martians attack Earth to legitimately like try to invade it, take over, impose like a fascist dictatorship.
Yeah.
Jon Snow at the helm. The Earth people fight back and then take it to Mars and win.
Okay. That's pretty much
it. I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think that Kit Harington, I think who's a perfectly serviceable actor, probably didn't get paid particularly well. I mean, he probably got paid very well for how much work he put in.
Handsomely for like, one afternoon.
Feels like the utmost phoned-in role I've seen in gaming in a while. Because it feels it's like, oh, you're the bad guy, so be villainy for a few scenes, and then we're just going to completely anticlimactically kill you off and or potentially knock you unconscious?
Maybe, yeah. I thought that was just me being optimistic, maybe.
It's funny because there's a moment where Jon Snow's like, oh, you can kill me, but it's not really about me. Like, the Martian people will rise up, right?
Yeah.
And for a hot second, I was like, oh, they're going to try to do what they did in Black Ops 2, where, okay, we defeated the villain, but really there's like this generic uprising because... Yeah. People are genuinely upset about their conditions of life and like, oh, this might be an interesting story. Nope, it's not that. It's just like a bunch of random soldiers on Mars are still just super pissed at Earth for this unknown reason. And there's no sense whatsoever that at the end of this game, any progress is made towards unifying these two planets.
Yeah.
In fact, it's kind of a fucked up nihilistic story.
I mean, it's called Infinite Warfare.
Yeah, I guess. Touché. I mean, guess that could be the point.
I guess. So, I think it's pretty, the broad strokes of it are Earth and Mars are fighting.
Yep.
There's resources, buildings explode.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah.
Geneva, boats crash into piers.
I think the themes of it, though, were around what is the nature of command? What are you willing to
order your people
to do?
Because that's the story, right? Like, at some point, I guess, Captain Reyes reluctantly becomes the captain and loses a mission because he wants to save his crew.
Yeah.
And then ultimately has to make the final decision to sacrifice his crew in order to accomplish the mission.
Yeah. And and spoilers, himself.
And himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is we perhaps didn't do enough reading about Reyes, about like why we should care about him.
The background, like in the computer terminal?
Maybe. I mean, maybe he has his whole life story out there or something like that. But like this Reyes guy is super generic.
At least leave me some fucking audio tapes or something.
Yeah. His relationship with Salt is basically just, you know, he wants to be a good guy all the time. Salt tells him to, you know, buck up and be a better captain.
Right.
And then eventually he does it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Man, you're new on the job. Like, can you imagine? I wouldn't work with this guy.
Yeah.
Throw me in the brig.
Yeah. It's hard to feel like this was like a band of brothers type situation because, I mean, maybe we didn't spend enough time hanging out in the mess hall or whatever.
Right.
But there's not a huge amount of weight when all of these people get offed in the final scene.
I mean, again, I mentioned it as well, but like they end in during the credits, they let you watch or rather listen to the last message that each of the deceased crew would have sent to their loved ones after the fact.
Yeah.
And while I appreciate the attempt of adding some content towards the credit sequence, because I'm always a big fan of that, I think it's really weak to have the stakes for liking these characters be after the content. Like,
yeah.
How am I going to care about this guy if my only interaction with him is having him fuck up landing the ship every other scene? You know, like there's no connection I'm making to these guys. And even then, their last message is the cliche war told story of like, oh, to my kids back at home. And it's like, I think they are meant to have me feel, oh my God, this guy had three kids or something, and this is tragic.
Yeah.
It's a wasted opportunity because every single time someone dies in this game, I have no idea who these people are. I just do not care about them.
Until the end.
Until the end. Yeah. The exception would be, I suppose, Captain Reyes. We actually know a bit about him. If Salt had died, I think that was actually one of the better relationships in the game.
Yeah.
And then they kill off Ethan, the robot AI.
Fucking Ethan. We should talk about Ethan.
Ethan.
E3N.
E3N. This is really tough to have an Ethan relationship in a world where BT exists.
Oh, yeah. BT, I mean, once you go BT...
there's no going back.
No, I mean, come on.
I mean, here's the thing about Ethan, right? Like, they, again, a testament to the sense that I got from this game that they didn't entirely know what they were doing.
Mm.
Because on one hand, you were hacking into random robots, and they're just robot scum, and there's some story here about, like, the use of robots in the battlefield, right? Yeah. And Ethan is a robot, so hey, maybe that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But there is never a single moment in this fucking game where Ethan acts like a robot. He is always a straight up, fully realized, talking, joking human being.
He's basically like, I mean, I don't think it was Nolan North, but he's essentially like a Nolan North bot.
I mean, his dialogue is funnier and better delivered than every single human actor in this fucking game.
Yeah.
But
that's problematic, though, because like at that point, then where's your moral dilemma? He's essentially human at this point. He's so human. I mean, at the very beginning of the game, Omar is kind of giving him a hard time about being a robot. But
even he comes
quickly
around.
Turns around
in a scene that is. Yeah. He says it like seven times in a row. Like, dude, I get it, Omar. You're into robots.
Yeah,
chill your jets.
But I mean, at that point, then. What you then have is a human made out of metal, which is not interesting whatsoever because there's no conflict between what does it mean to be sentient? Because they then treat Ethan as like a person when needed.
Yeah.
Except that he also commands like a slave army of dumber robots.
Yeah. I mean, what would have happened if all of a sudden every slave army dummy robot was suddenly a copy of Ethan?
Yeah.
Like, there's all sorts of crazy.
Oh my God. Cool that would have been great.
Done.
Because they should have
all just said shitty jokes constantly.
Jon Snow should have captured Ethan, extracted his memory core to clone it, put it into his robot army, and then not only are you fighting super smart, better soldiers, but you're also fighting Ethans.
Dude, that would have been great.
So you're like shooting Ethan.
And now, like, let's imagine, like, you know, people did a better job with writing.
Yeah.
Now all of the Ethans are undermining Captain Reyes and saying, I was there when you let this person die.
Exactly.
And then Captain Reyes is like, is this programming or does Ethan really feel these things?
He'll have to ask Ethan, like, Ethan, is that how you feel?
Yeah, and Ethan has to be like, well, I'm not programmed to tell you that.
Because Ethan, that was a literal copy of you. That must be how you feel. And so, God,
we just wrote a better fucking story. Like, that legitimately would have been really fucking cool.
Yeah, instead, no. One of the oldest sci-fi tropes in the book, can machines lie to you? They just totally sidestep it and nothing. Yeah.
In a time period where we have fucking Westworld.
Yeah.
We have BT.
Yeah.
We've got fucking, I have a Roomba now. Like, there's all sorts of
Roomba, do you like me?
There's all sorts of opportunities to play around with those ideas.
Yeah.
And it's really wasted. And again, like, not their fault, but we literally have BT, which says, you know what? We actually have a goal in mind.
Yeah.
We want to make a statement where BT is just a fucking robot.
Yeah, he is an AI.
He is an AI, and any friendship you see is reading into that friendship.
Yep.
And that might be okay.
Yep.
That is a very actually interesting conversation to have.
Yep.
And it just, you do not get a pass when literally you and I, like, we just played that like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And just the overall, like, it's, there's just a lot of stuff. And even at the end, when you make this huge dramatic sacrifice of jumping into Ethan to self-destruct him.
Yeah, to hit the sacrifice button.
He doesn't seem all that broken up by it. And also, there's no commentary on, like, well, I always knew the boys in the lab made me a machine for you. Like, anything, you know?
I mean, imagine if Ethan expressed, like, he expresses humor, but he doesn't express regret or anger. And in an opportunity where he could express sadness or even animosity towards his creators for being forced to kill himself in this way.
Yeah.
Or even like sympathy, right? What if Ethan had been like, you know, Captain Reyes, like, I know this is going to be hard for you, but you need to do this, right?
And he could say, like, you know, Captain, I don't care.
Yeah, you know, I'm just like, a robot.
Yeah, like, oh, man. God, so it's... And there was that whole, like, scene where, like, they were embracing each other tenderly in space when they thought they were going to die together, and it's like, what? Like, why? Like, why?
It costs a feel.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's never clear whether... It's never clear whether there's supposed to be anything to read into.
Yeah.
And so it's just madness when at the very end you feel this, you're supposed to feel this thing for something that you're not quite sure if you're supposed to treat it as like a tool or a thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I mean, I guess it's just silly. It feels, that to me felt the most disrespectful to the audience because it's like, oh, they probably can't handle the weird moral ambiguity, so we'll just make him like an Urob, like Robro.
Yeah.
And like, we'll just call it a day. Yeah. And it's like, man, that's, I don't know. I could have handled it, you know?
Yeah. It, you know, in the past, we've talked about the Call of Duty series being this constant combat between like smart writers and like bro-y other writers or something, like in the room.
Yeah.
And the bros have won, I think.
The Robros.
The Robros have won.
Yeah. It's, so much potential, unfortunately, not realized.
No. But Titanfall 2 campaign is really good.
I should play that.
So Titanfall. Really, you should go play Titanfall 2. And I hear that 2.
Doom is pretty good. Yeah. So, like...
And Battlefield 1. Like, yeah. I wish we had played Battlefield 1 campaign.
Yeah.
And maybe we should at some point, because that's probably a
more interesting maybe during take. The winter break we'll do that or something. Anyway, yeah. Any final thoughts on Infinite Warfare? I mean, it's going to go on forever. It's infinite, so...
I think that this marks a really good time for Activision to take a break from the series and figure out what it is they want out of it.
Yeah.
I think that this requires like a doubling down on branching things. Like I don't think this can just be, this is the shooter now. Like it has to be a particular type, right? Like Titanfall 2 sort of picked an aesthetic and flow that they wanted to create.
Right.
And they stuck with it. And that is their experience.
Right.
And that experience, if you're not into it, is fine.
Yeah.
Right. You can go to Call of Duty. You can go to Battlefield 1. Mm. But they double down on it. And I think it was really rewarding. And I think Call of Duty has to do that.
I wonder how much the pressure on Call of Duty as a series and as a group of developers is influenced by Destiny.
Yeah.
That's like, if Destiny was a huge hit, but if it had been the, like, genre-defining hit that they wanted it to be, I wonder what would have happened.
Yeah.
You know?
If it had would have copied more from it?
Or if they would have just been fine with not becoming the space game.
Yeah.
You know, but now we're in this weird world where they're essentially going to have to totally reboot Destiny the next time they release it.
Yeah.
They now are playing to all masters, where EA is coming double-barreled. One, here's my military game set in the past. Two, here's my far-flung future military game.
Yep.
And Call of Duty is stuck in the middle, where it's like, well, we still have to have kind of bullets, but also we need robots.
You know? Like, we have to be everything to everyone, quick.
Yeah, I just wonder... I wonder.
Not enough mecha. We need more mechs in there.
It's, I don't know. It's strange, because we're so... Oh, the other thing, one of the things that I posed during the stream... How long till we have aliens in Call of Duty?
Legitimately, that might be the direction they have to go.
I mean, what else?
Like, look, if Destiny, if Bungie left the beginnings of Halo, go make your new Halo.
Yeah.
What if you started a Call of Duty game playing as an alien and you didn't see a fucking human being till like 8 hours in? And the first half is just like a romance sim. You're just like dating other aliens. And then like humans invade and like you have to learn their weird human weapons. But like you got six arms and like all of a sudden you can like...
All the guns.
Like who knows, right? Like there's all sorts of weird ways. I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you gave yourself the challenge like that, you might be surprised by what you could develop.
Do you think that they would call it Call of Duty Human Warfare?
I'm all for it. That would be great.
Call of Duty Alien Warfare?
Rise of the Aliens? I don't know. I don't know what they would call it.
We need to have something warfare. I mean, Call of Duty Xeno Warfare?
I think the biggest challenge for Call of Duty, the franchise itself, is actually its fans. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many at this point with so many differing opinions.
Yeah.
And who will absolutely lambast it. Like, from the trailer to the Metacritic user score to, like, Steam reviews, like, they are very outspoken.
Yeah.
And how do you back up and say, all of you Call of Duty fans, we cannot satisfy you all, so we're not going to satisfy a third of you.
Right. Yeah. That is terrifying. especially when you are still one of the premier franchises.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, all right. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our moon base. We got a space elevator.
Yeah.
You can fuck right off.
No robots allowed.
No robots allowed.
Trust those guys.
No skin jobs.
ExperiencePoints.net is the website.
Yeah, come on by.
Yep. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. We will be talking to you next week.
Ciao. Every time we disagree.